Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Text number 11.
Swayam chatat anujyata.
Swayam chatat anujyata.
Swayam chatat anujyata.
Swayam chatat anujyata.
Krishnaya Krishna devata.
Krishnaya Krishna devata.
Krishnaya Krishna devata.
Krishnaya Krishna devata.
Bhutva pavi visukhamam.
Bhutva
pavi visukhamam.
Bhutva pavi visukhamam.
Snigdha chahayam kripam.
Snigdha chahayam kripam.
Finish my
Snigdha chahayam kripam grisu. Snigdha chayam kripam grisu. Swayam chatat anugyata. Krishnaya Krishna devata. Bhuktva pavi visukhamam. Snigdha chayam kripam grisu.
Angripa
of trees.
Angrishu
at the feet. Translation. Then, with the permission of Lord Krishna, their sole object of worship, the Rishnis ate breakfast and sat down at their leisure beneath trees that gave cooling shade. Tatra gatam te tadishu suri sambandino nipan masyo sinara kaushalya vidabha kuru srinjayan kamboja kaikayam madran kuntin anat keralan anyam scaivatma pakshiyan paramcha sattaso nipan nandadin surido gopan gopis chotkanditas chiram. The Yadavas saw that many of the kings who had arrived were old friends and relatives. The Matsyas, Usinaras, Kaushalyas, Vidabhas, Kurus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kaikayas, Madras, Kuntis, and the kings of the Anata and Kerala. They also saw many hundreds of other kings, both allies and adversaries. In addition, my dear King Parikshit, they saw their dear friends, Nanda Maharaj and the coward men and women, who have been suffering in anxiety for so long. Anyonya sadashana hasa namhasa prathula rit bhaktara saruhasriya aslisya gadam nayanai sunashchalam rishyatako rudagiro yayumudam. As the great joy of seeing one another made the lotuses of their hearts and faces bloom with fresh beauty, the men embraced one another enthusiastically. With tears pouring from their eyes, the hair on their bodies standing on end, and their voices choked up, they all felt intense bliss. Sri Yascha Samvikshat Mitoti Saurida Smita Mala Pangadiso Bire Bire Sanai Sanam Kumkuma Pankarusitan Nihatyadobi Pranayasu Lochana. The women glanced at one another with pure smiles of loving friendship. And when they embraced their breasts smeared with saffron paste, pressed against one another as their eyes filled with tears of affection. Tato bivajyate vidanya vistai abhivadita swagatam kushalam prisva chakru krishna katamita. They all then offered obeisances to their elders and received respect in return from their younger relatives. After inquiring from one another about the comfort of their trip and their well-being, they proceeded to talk about Krishna. Purport. These are the special dealings of Vaishnavas. Even the family entanglements that delude ordinary conditioned souls are no encumbrance for those whose family members are all pure devotees of the Lord. Impersonalists have no capacity for appreciating these intimate dealings, since their philosophy condemns as illusory any kind of personal, emotional existence. When followers of impersonalism pretend to understand the loving relationships of Krishna and his devotees, they only create havoc for themselves and whoever listens to them. Amma gyanati mandasya gyananjana salakaya shapsumulitam yena tasmai shri garoya namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasavtale shrimati bhakti vedanta swami niti namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyo Devasacha Deshatarine. When I was reading these few verses last night, immediately my mind went to Mayapur. Because this is the time of the year where devotees travel from all over the world and congregate in Mayapur to perform yajna and austerity. Just like the Yadavas, the Rishnis, because they on the advice of the Brahmanas that the eclipse of the sun is approaching, they went to Kurukshetra for the near place Samatha. Samanta Panchaka to they take a bath, to perform austerities, get purified. And when they arrive there, they meet so many friends from different places. Just like when we go to Mayapur, we meet friends from all over the world. They travel to different provinces. So we have devotees from America, from Europe, different parts of Europe, Russia, Middle East, Africa, different Asian countries, New Zealand, Pacific Islands. So many devotees from all over the world, they congregate and we meet. And it's so, and one derives so much happiness meeting these devotees from all around the world. And you see, when you go to Mayapur, you observe different devotees, different group of devotees, oh, Haribo! And they offer obeisances, they embrace, and they feel so much joy and bliss in their heart. Once they, and then they start inquiring, how are you doing? What's going on in your area? What kind of preaching you're doing? Are you keeping well? And once those things are settled, and sometimes you see them together taking prasadam. And when all these basic inquiries are settled, and the comfort foods are settled in your rooms and everything, then they get to down to Krishna Katha. So many seminars are going on, so many classes are going on. Even now we go to Dandavat, we can, nowadays we can hear the classes going on Mayapur. Every morning a senior devotee will be giving class, and we can also download and listen to those classes. Straight from Mayapur. So you're saying, what happened 5,000 years ago? When all these, the Yadavas, they come together and they meet and embrace. So here, the first verse here is that with the permission of Lord Krishna, the sole object of worship, the Rishnis ate breakfast and sat down on their leisure beneath trees that gave cooling shade. It's also this in Parikrama. When I go on the Navadvipa Parikrama, going to the nine islands, visiting the nine islands. In the beginning, the first 2 years, I think, first two or three years, when we did it, it was nine. We stayed out for eight nights or nine nights. We spent one night on each island. Of course, then we came back to Mayapur, that's one night. The last day. And now they do it in 7 days, 7 days and 6 nights. And each island have their particular pastime, the theatres. Nityananda was showing, who did he show? He took this one devotee, came to Mayapur. Nityananda took him on Parikrama. Jiva Goswami, yeah, that's right. Jiva Goswami. It also took him on Parikrama. So there also, at the time of breakfast, when you arrive in the place, you get up early in the morning, perform Mangarati for the Gaunaitai deities, and then you go, start walking to the next place, hear Bhagavatam class, and also hear the past tense of that particular theatre. Then the devotees of breakfast prasadam under the shady trees. Just like here. That's why I cannot just help. When I was reading these verses last night, I just could not help just transport them back to Mayapur and the Parikrama. Same, practically the same description, so it's like. The past times that was going on during Krishna's time 5,000 years ago, still going on. Just slightly different location. But the activities are the same. There's no changes. This is the eternal reality of Krishna consciousness. That's why it's called Sanatana Dharma. The eternal Dharma of the Jiva, of the living entity. To engage in loving devotional service to Krishna in the association of devotees. So here they came with Krishna, they take permission. With the permission of Lord Krishna, they sat down to prasadam. That's why before you take prasadam, we say sarira vijaya, we say the prayer. We offer pranam, and then we respect prasadam. It's not like the that chili, you know, you put a plate of food in there and you just start stuffing their face. I'm the enjoyer, and they start enjoying. In fact, the other day I was talking to some devotees, to one devotee, about how, on one hand, sometimes we kind of, not really like criticize or ridicule the Christians when they give thanks before they eat. They thank, they say thanks, they say a prayer before they eat. Thank you. Thank you for my daily bread and so on. Thank you for these meals and so on. They do a lot. Thank you and showing gratitude. And we often say that, well, they thank God for the food, but we go one step further. We offer it before we eat. But the fact is that often as devotees, we do not show enough gratitude and for all the blessings that we have. Very often we take things for granted. How we take everything for granted as if this is my right. And we expect all these things to be given to us with our hands down. But it's good to at least regularly to show appreciation, come from the deity and show gratitude that the blessings we have in the to have association of devotees is such a great blessings. By showing gratitude, we get more association of devotees. If you show gratitude for the association of devotees, you get more association. And on the other hand, you also reminded what a great blessing it is to have association of devotees, that we don't take it for granted. To have a healthy body. We don't know. Sometimes yesterday I was talking to a friend in Sweden, and he told me, he said, you know, this devotee is just 1 year older than me. He's in coma for the last 10 days. Started off as a flu, very quickly developed into bronchitis and pneumonia. The heart stopped, fainted, and has not woken up. The doctors tried to wake him up, and he just went to the stars, and his body could not relate to it. So he went back into a coma. Janeshwar. He's in hospital the last 10 days, just, you know. We never know. So we show gratitude to Krishna for giving me a healthy body so I can use it in devotional service. Whatever little we have, we show gratitude, say thank you. And this way we can relate ourselves, that everything is related to Krishna. Whatever we have, it's all blessings of Krishna, we relate it to Krishna. There's no separation. So in this way, I think we should actually show more gratitude, express more gratitude in our life, so we don't take things for granted. And we'll find that our relationship between devotees will also improve naturally as a result of that. So these devotees, they come together, they embrace, they're so happy to see. This is how it should be. When we see a devotee, we're so happy. Sometimes when we see someone every day, we tend to just take it for granted. I remember when we were traveling Sanitan, we just get dropped off in some remote places, because you see in Sweden the towns are very small and far in between. So very often you cannot have two devotees in the same place, because there's hardly enough people for one devotee in this building. What to say? You can't have two. You know, sometimes you drop off in a place where there's only 2,000-3,000 inhabitants. And most of them are working during the day. You really have to like, where is the jiva that we can give some mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to? And sometimes it is tough, you know, out there 8 hours, 9 hours straight, all on your own, this building. And you, by the time the Sankirtan went, comes and pick you up, you just feel so happy to see a devotee. He's just acting right there and then praise Haribo. And you really appreciate when you're out there facing this whole day trying to speak Krishna consciousness. Some people are, you mean, are nice, some people are nasty. And at the end of the day, you see a devotee, it doesn't matter. You may have some problem with him, you're just like, oh, finally I made someone who's sane. You just go and embrace him. He appreciates so much more. But you don't have to be like this. Who was there? Some devotee you mentioned that now regularly we are experiencing how devotee is getting older and they're starting to leave the body. And he was saying, why do we have to wait for the devotee to leave the body before we start eulogizing him and appreciating his service? We have to wait for someone, he won't be able to hear it. It's done. Then we have, they come together, we have this funeral, and then a few days later we come, Smaranam, what do you call this, that ceremony? Remembrance of the departed soul, we come and then each one says something about that person. We do not need to wait for the devotee to pass away. We never know the one next to us. Chaitanya, we can say, just out of the blue, just, you know, he could have just gone if nobody was around, just heart attack and then completely unexpected. So the one next to us, who's close to us, we don't show appreciation and gratitude just to have the association of that devotee. We may not have the chance the next time. We will have to do it in post-mortem. So here you see the devotee, that when they see, they meet one another, they're so happy to meet. And they just embrace and tears are flowing from the eyes out of joy, out of great joy, and so blissful. And the deep love is just manifesting. And it's also interesting how they relate to one another. When they see the friends, they're embracing, and then they offer obeisances to the elders, and they receive respect in turn from the younger relative. And then after inquiring from one another about the comfort of their trip and their well-being, they proceeded to talk about Krishna. This is life of devotee. Machita makata prana bodhayantash parashpram kantayantash mamicham tusyanti charamanticha. When they come together, they just derive so much bliss, so much joy, just discussing with one another about Krishna. Just engaging Krishna Katha. And it's not very often that when the devotee come together, they engage in such deep discussion about Krishna. And sharing. I had this experience recently. I was visiting one devotee in his home for dinner. When I was in Malaysia, he's from Bombay, disciple of Radhanath Maharaj. And after prasad, we sat down, we talked, the preliminaries were gone, how are you doing, all this. Like, exactly what was going on here. And then I started discussing Krishna Katha. He was inquiring, I was answering, discussing about the different aspects of devotional service. And the clock was just ticking. My wife was there, and then one other Madhuji was there, who came with us. And if they were not there, we could have just gone on and on. We went up to 11:30. None of us wanted to stop. But my wife was getting tired. The other Madhuji has to go home. The family, we have to drop her off. And we have another 1 hour to drive. So reluctantly, we parted. He said, no problem, Prabhu, I'm not working tomorrow. Tomorrow is a holiday. And just keep going. And it was so sweet. It was such a sweet association. Just discussing about various aspects of Krishna consciousness. About service to Guru, what does it mean? And so that's nice. That's where the devotees derive their pleasure from. Just engaging Krishna Katha with one another. And here that they're not just embracing but also shows the relationship. In the Purport it's written, these are the special dealings of Vaishnavas. How they deal with one another, we can learn so much from the Bhagavatam and especially from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can learn so much. I was just going through a little bit of the classes. Didn't have time to listen to all the classes, but I was just reading the transcription. The first part of the lecture by Devamrita Maharaj a few days ago. He said, the virtue of devotees. How when they meet, he says, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he meet, he came to meet Haridas Thakur. They just come towards one another and they just embrace. With so much loving exchanges, they were just embracing one another. And Haridas Thakur was saying, he said, my dear Lord, don't touch me. You know, I'm so contaminated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will have nothing of that. Embracing, just embracing you, I'm getting purified. You see how the interaction between the devotees and the Lord, so much love is in the exchanges. It's the same thing, because we all related to Krishna. So between the devotees, the jiva, they also can have also such loving exchanges. So that's going on. So this is one of the meaning of coming together as devotees, to show appreciation, to have loving exchanges, practicing the six principles of loving exchanges, tadadi, pratikrinati, guhyamajati, prichati, and so on, offering a gift, accepting gift, offering prasadam, accepting prasadam, revealing your mind and inquiring confidentially. When Jananda Maharaj was here in one of the class he gave, he was talking about one of the secrets of staying in Krishna consciousness along, you know, is a deep friendship with devotees. Deep friendship. That's one of the secret of and maybe other things also, but this is one of the important factors to stay in Krishna consciousness. They're friends, devotees' friends, deep friends, whom you can relate to, whom you can review your mind, whom you can also inquire confidentially, whom you trust. A very trusting relationship. But this trusting relationship is built over time. Especially in terms of human relationship, there will always be some friction. Sometimes there's some friction, but actually all these frictions and misunderstandings are just part of the purification process to remove the anathas so that one can come closer. Isn't it? If you look back some of the very, very good friends that you have, in the early stages there may be some conflicts, but somehow you get this sit down together, you work out those differences and the relationship just becomes stronger. And then you go to another stage, there's some conflict, you work it out and you and get even stronger. I know, like the friend I was speaking to yesterday. So even though we've been separated for so many years, but it's still such a strong bond there. Every time we speak, it's just like we have never been separated. But I look back, we had our moments through the years. We joined around the same time, you know, the years. But each time we come together, it gets stronger and stronger relationship. So this deep friendship is very important in Krishna consciousness. You have to know how to relate and develop that kind of friendship. Openness, honest relationship. Because no man is an island. As I was mentioned once, Ravindra Swara Prabhu once mentioned, after the parikrama, Navadi Mandir parikrama, when we assembled in Yoga Pit, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, After attending this parikrama, I come to the conclusion that either we all go back home together or not at all. That's why it's called Sankirtan movement. Together. Together we glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Together we engage in glorification, engage in kirtan, engage in service. So much more powerful, so much more relishable. So this is one of the very, very important aspects of Krishna consciousness, how to relate with devotees, how to develop the relationship as exemplified here. Embracing devotees on the same level of friends, offering obeisances and respect to the elders, and accepting respect from the younger. This culture. And as Prabhupada said, as Krishna conscious, it's we're not going to conquer the world with philosophy or anything, because most people are not very philosophical. But we can conquer the world by culture. Different aspect of culture. Cultural activities, also dealings. It's so important. Often we hear sometimes devotees say, you know, in ISKCON we have the most personalist philosophy, but sometimes you get the most impersonalist dealings with one another. My daughter, remember I was talking about a friend, ran away from home and was staying with us for some days. So anyway, finally she ended up with the family. My daughter went to stay with them one night. Next day, they went to church and brought my daughter also along to church. And she came back. She said, you know, I have a completely different understanding of Christians now. See, they are so nice to one another. Sometimes you may be a bit superficial, but you observe. They are so nice to one another. And so caring. You say if someone didn't come, or if someone is sick, then someone who knows about it will start informing about the other. They'll call up and say, how are you doing? They visit. And they really kind of take care of one another in their congregation and community. I remember I also had this experience with my mother. After some intense propaganda from my sister, she started going to church, became a Christian. And she was telling me how, sometimes they'll come and pick her up. One of the church members out of the way will come and pick her up, drive her to church, drive her back. Sometimes the son or daughter wouldn't even do that, but they will come and do that. Sometimes they go out, they will meet, and they have a bhakti risha, and have discussion. I said, what do you do? I said, we talk about different things. We talk about Jesus, we talk about different person's experiences, and then they go for a meal. What could that mean? Or they go for drink and all, tea or coffee, whatever. But the point is that they have this kind of sharing, learning sharing one another, and that's why they're growing so fast. And people get so attracted because people are so lonely out there. There's no real friendship. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And sometimes the slightest opportunity, you stab the back. You don't scratch. You scratch, and you stab. It's dog eat cat and cat eat dog society. So when they experience a little bit of love, they become so attracted. Even though nothing much to offer in terms of knowledge and philosophy, and it's just a belief, nothing much to offer. But still, they're growing so far. They're just because of that. So I was telling her, I said, well, you know, the pastor in the church, they don't have much to do. They get paid, they're well maintained. We used to have a pastor who lived right next door to us in Copenhagen, who hated us. he and his wife live in that house, and in the next door, the devotees, we were 20 of us living in the same kind of house. And all they do is just basically their clubs doing administration work. Maybe they do a little bit of administration. They have one program once a week, which where they deliver lecture. And the whole time it just means to administering to their congregation. So they have a lot of time to do that. But for us, sometimes we have so much to do, we miss out the trees from the forest. The forest from the trees or trees from the forest? We get so busy with so many things, we forget what is the most important. Our most important assets are the devotees. In fact, Prabhupada said, even in the in early 80s, when the whole of ISKCON, we only had a few hundred devotees, he said, enough. We don't need to make more devotees. Just train them now. Train what we have and take care of them. So this is, if each one of these us as devotees, we understand this point and take upon ourselves to try to develop those qualities of loving, caring. Even if we just take one person under our wing, each person taking one person under our wing, then really the impact you will have. They have such a great impact. So while we're doing so many activities, so many things, we should not forget that sometimes guests come, we're so busy, we don't even have time to take care of guests. And we don't ask ourselves, well, why are we doing all these things for? It's for the guests. And when they come, and then one zoom, and they're like, is there someone here who can talk to me? You know what I mean? So when we read Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear and learn how actually devotees interact, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita. So sweet exchanges devotees have, so loving exchanges. And how nice they deal with one another. How such proper etiquette also they follow. When you follow proper etiquette, then nice loving exchanges can be there. But when we neglect etiquette, then relationship becomes a bit rough sometimes. So these are final points of Krishna consciousness that we can learn just by reading and by also observing senior devotees, how they interact. And that's why sometimes it's very nice when you see very senior devotees come together and you see how they interact with one another, how they deal with one another. It's so inspiring, very, very inspiring. I remember that once, actually, back in the 80s, one devotee, he came up to me and said, you know, I get so inspired just watching you and this other devotee. Both of us, we are like the leader for the yatra. I said, I get so inspired just watching the two of you working so nicely together and so cooperatively together. Just by seeing you interact, I get so inspired. And it was like a big, really opened my eyes when he said that. I said, wow. You know, sometimes you never think of that. But that's what people see. They see more than they hear. Although we say we learn by hearing, but they want to see. So when they come, people come, they see how we act. Very often there was even one person in Gopal, someone who works as a devotee. He was also bringing up his point, saying, why is it, you know, in this country we have such wonderful philosophy, but why are we not have this caring? Why is that lacking? So if we just be a little bit more conscious and show a bit more care, we cannot care for everyone. At least we take someone, or at least make it make a conscious effort to be nice. Like some of the important words, because they say, you know, what is the most important word? One word is please. The most important two words, thank you. And three words, I am sorry. I can't remember what's the four and the five now. Please, can do this.
Do that. Do this.
Please. And thank you. Every time someone does something, just say thank you profusely. It don't cost anything to say thank you. But it makes such a difference. It's a showing of appreciation. Thank you. And you say to do something wrong, I'm sorry. How difficult it is. It's difficult because of false ego. No, I cannot show them wrong. You know this story of these two men arguing, they were drowning. And they still, no, it's a season. No, it's arguing, it's drowning, it's still hanging on. So this is what came to my mind when I was reading these verses. So any comments? Any questions?
As you mentioned, like how important it is to be caring among devotees, being in overseas, working full time.
Doing what?
Being overseas. Overseas, like.
Overseas.
Yeah, working full time. Sometimes it becomes hard to meet a devotee, or the time factor is a big issue. So in such a case, how can we?
Well, it's not just a matter of time, it's a matter of quality. You know? The quality of the relationship. You may not spend very much time, but whatever time you have, make some difference. I've mentioned this a few times in class. Back in 98, when I moved back to Malaysia, and it was a big change in my life, as my guru there, and then suddenly found myself just back in Malaysia away for 20 something years, and what to do with my life and all that. And I was going to temple and interact with some devotees, and some of the things that some devotees told me really gave me some really deep realization. Like, you know, Prabhu, you know, back in early 80s or 10 years, 15 years ago, and you told me something, and I never forget that. And I took that seriously, and it really helped me in my Krishna consciousness. I was very new at that time, and now they're pretty senior and pretty sadly devotees. So I was hearing things like that, and at that time I was just visiting. I just like zoom in, zoom out, I was just visiting. And I just realized that we never know. Every interaction we have with someone, we never know what kind of impact. What we say, what we do, the impact we have on that person's life. So if we make a conscious effort that with every interaction we have, make it very, make it useful. In the marketing, I think they call it the moment of truth. Is that right? The moment of truth. Add something to someone's life with every interaction. And especially encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. Yogeshwara. I think Yogeshwara Prabhu. When they were still doing the Prabhupada Lilamrita, so Yogeshwara Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, he was part of the team, editorial team, and he visited Sweden with all these notes that they collected about different qualities Prabhupada had. one of the qualities, and I remember I was listening to the tape, we were traveling Sankatera, so we were not there, but we had the tape. And one of the things he said that really struck me that I never forget was, he said one of the qualities Prabhupada had was that he was always encouraging. And then he said something, he said, the material energy is already pushing everyone down. The most of material energy is already pushing everyone down. She don't need our existence. She don't need our help. She's already doing a good job at it. So what we need to do is lift people up and put them down. So you say it's a word of encouragement. I'm just shocked myself how just a sentence I said to Armin. And he has not stopped distributing books. To his credit, but he did not stop. It's not something that I just said, and he got so inspired during the marathon. He went on to an hour and he's still doing it. I was not shocked when his mother said, you told him to distribute books, and he's still doing it. I don't ever really realize at that time that it had such an impact. So you get what I mean? It's not, you don't have to be giving a whole lecture. It may be just some words you say, something you do, can have such an impact on someone's life. So make it significant, make it help them in their Krishna consciousness. You want to say something? Is it? No. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.